We were buried in the Yerushalmi yesterday, so let me just review very quickly where we're at. I hope by now at least it seems a little clear where the Yerushalmi is going. And I want to emphasize that there are really two different steps here. Step number one is what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying and why he's saying it. Step number two is, does that have any implications for Birchoseim Shavuos, Ein Birchoseim Shavuos? And partially it does, although not as completely as we might like. So what Rabbi Shimon Levi says is that the Machlokes of Yehud and the Rabbanon is limited to a case where you're having bread afterwards, you're having a meal afterwards, which means that he assumes that there is no bracha achrona, that this is like Dvarim Habayim B'tel Chasud B'Shlomech Mas Chasud B'Yu, you make a bracha rishona. So here, obviously, you have to make a bracha rishona anyway because you haven't had bread yet, so it's also lehanas malam azebeli bracha. But the machlokas or even the chachamim is in the following case. If you have bread, you're not going to make the bracha achrona on the min shiva, because you're going to make a berachas amazon that covers everything. So in that case, the chachamim say, since you're not making a bracha achrona, it doesn't matter what you make the bracha rishona. But if you're not going to have bread afterwards, meaning you're going to have to make a bracha achrona on the shiva saminim, then you have to make the bracha rishona on the shiva saminim as well. You need to ideally, at least, connect the bracha achrona to the bracha rishona. But the bracha rishona will have been on the apple, and the bracha achrona will have been on the date. What emerges, though, from this interpretation is that, and I don't think it will be different, we have to talk about the Sefer Haredim's parish as well. What emerges from this is that if you're talking about two things that don't have the same bracha, on the assumption that you will make two brachos, that's an assumption, but if you assume you're going to make two brachos, so then it doesn't matter for anybody. Certainly doesn't matter for the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon certainly will say that Abishayim Berchoseim Shavos, so it doesn't matter, you can make the bracha whichever one you want. Since the bracha Rishona doesn't connect to the bracha achrona, or since the bracha Rishona will connect to the bracha achrona anyway, regardless of whether you're eating the bread or afterwards, because you made a hadama and you made ha'eitz, so you're going to make a ha'eitz, and it will connect to the bracha Rishona by creates. Therefore, the Rabbanon for sure would say that chozer, that al-ezeh, in the bracha al-ezeh mentioned here, it's that. And then, even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda might also say that it's one thing if you're not going to make a bracha on the Shiva Semin at all, but once you're going to make a bracha on the Shiva Semin at all, who cares which one comes first? We just don't think it's appropriate for you to have a situation where you have a Shiva Semin in front of you, you make a bracha on non-Shiva Semin, and the pater included that in the Shiva Semin. Now, that last piece is sort of an extension as to one of the implications. That, I think, is what is clear certainly is that the Rabbanon, if it's Ein Berchosei and Shavos, and you're making two brachos for the Rabbanon for sure, they're not going to say you have to make them the Shavos, and they're not going to move it for Rabbi Yehuda, because why? For the Rabbanon, all that matters is that the bracha achrona connect to the bracha rishona. And if there's no bracha achrona, they argue with Rabbi Yehuda, and if there's going to be a bracha rishona anyway on the Shavos Aminim, they also are going to argue in Rabbi. They're also not going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda's position. You have to make the bracha in that case first in the Shiva Sinian. In all probability, they're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim will say v'sheim berchoseim Shabbos chozet v'rach hazeh v'chosem v'rach hazeh. If my analysis of that is correct, then fundamentally speaking, although Ula would not agree with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi completely, in other words, he would probably say, as in the Bavli, Ula does not seem to be concerned at all about bracha, about the bracha rishona finish bracha achrona. Oh, we don't know actually. We actually can't tell. What Ula does make clear is that the she'ein berchoseim shavos mevarech hazeh v'chozeh merech hazeh. Now, there's a question of what Ula means when he says that, so we're going to have to talk about that, because maybe he doesn't say what you think he says, because there are at least three different ways, potential, at least on the surface, to read that, and two of which at least can stand when you read the Shach and Tyre, the continuing questions of the Gemara. Jacob, question? Or?
I don't know if you said this yesterday, but doesn't the claim that Yerfotan Lo Shavos doesn't work in our Yerushalmi break down if you hold like the previous sugya?
That's what I suggested now, that if you're going to say that when you make a bracha on the tzlon, if you make a bracha on adama, it automatically paters the fruit that you're eating with it, then yachanami, there's not going to be a difference between Berchaseim Shabbos and Berchaseim Shabbos. They will argue across the board. They will argue across the board, but he'll be modded, he'll be modded across the board by pas. Okay. So, but again, that's assuming that you're connecting that sheet in the Yerushalmi to here. In the Bavli, what is pashtus is quite clear with the ul sheet. And again, here, Jake, the question is the Bavli interpreting the Yerushalmi? Is ula an interpretation of the Tribulati? What's clear in the Bavli is that ula believes two things. I don't know if you've seen the Bavli at all yet? Okay, so one of the things that would emerge from Ula, it would appear, Rashba points this out explicitly. By the way, if you're bored and you've finished everything and everything is clear to you, just read the entire Rashba on this idea. It's a good review, and he has some insights that are not in the other Yishonim, or it's not as clearly spelled out. So there are two things that Ula says, Machlekes kishe berchoseim Shabbos, ha'vaim berchoseim Shabbos, divrei kol, mevarech hazeh ve'achakach mevarech hazeh. Number one is that he believes that with She'en Berchoseim Shabbos, nobody cares about Hakdama. It doesn't matter which one goes first. As opposed to later in the Sugya, where there is such a Shita that says, the Ma'itli, the Hakdama. Doesn't, you know, what is the issue? Is that even though you're making two brachos, still, the better bracha should come first in this case. The second thing that Ula is saying is, Mevarech Hazeh, V'chosem Mevarech Hazeh, that even though you made a Barik Pri Adama on a radish, you still can make a Barik Pri from the Zayis that follows. So if the Bavli is assuming it's possible that this sugya is not working with the Hanacha, the story of Bar Kapara, and remember, Jake, how did the Bavli understand the story of Bar Kapara? Certainly was not taking that particular position. So if the Bavli is not understanding the story in that light, then it's not necessarily going to view this sugya in light of what we pulled out of the Yerushalmi. Okay. And in fact, one of the additional proofs, aside from the actual presentation where it's presented, if the Bavli doesn't assume that's what the story is about, is the fact that it's not quoted in the sugya. It's not quoted in this sugya, and it's not quoted on Daf Mem, on the Mishnah Daf Mem, that Berech HaBorei Pri, you know, Berech HaPeros HaOretz Borei Pri HaAdama is Yatza. They don't talk about the story there, because they don't think that that's what it's about. So you are correct. You could read the, if the Yerushalmi is going with the Mahalach that we suggested was going on at the end of Halacha Beis, the story of Bar Kapara, then it will be a Machlokas across the board. And the Chachamim will be Modeh in a case where his Kavod is not to be passed. Okay, so that's step one. Step number two is Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says that you have to make a Bracha Chorona. Now, all that means initially is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's Chilek doesn't work. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wanted to say that the Chachamim Shita is predicated upon the fact that there's no bracha achrona, hence we don't care which bracha Rishon you make, because there's nothing to connect. But if you always have to make a bracha achrona, and Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Chachamim, the Chacham argue on Rabbi Yehuda, then obviously they're arguing even though there's a bracha achrona there. In which case, it is conceivable that Shitas Rabbi Yehuda might just be that when there's a bracha achrona, you have to connect it to bracha rishona, because there's always a bracha achrona. And the Chacham Shita says, we don't care. There's no Indian of having to connect that bracha achrona to the bracha rishona. So, and that's how you know Rabbi Abba disagrees with Shulman Levi. Because Rabbi Shulman Levi assumes that you don't have to make a bracha achrona if you're eating pasta afterwards, that the bracha samazon is going to cover you. So, now, b'derech klal, one can say, if you want to, now, according to Rabbi Abba, where is the machlokas going to be situated? So, for sure, the Rabbanon across the board are going to say, I would even say the following. Now, according to Rabbi Abba, look, the Peshat in the Mishnah is not talking about Ein Berchoseim Shabbos. You makabel there? I mean, you hear where we're coming from? Allah hu mavarech. It's one bracha. Which one? Which food gets the bracha? Allah, which one are you mevarech on? The answer is Allah hu mevarech. So the Yerushalmi may not even be thinking about the question of a Berchoseim Shabbos. The Yerushalmi is just talking about Berchoseim Shabbos, because that's what the Pshat in the Mishnah is talking about. It's the Bavli, as discussed in the Moran, that now is willing to go a step beyond. right? The real radical, what is the radical chiddush of saying that they argue by Ein Birchas Hashem Shabbos? Which position is the radical chiddush? If they argue even by Ein Birchas Hashem Shabbos, whose position is the radical position? What? Why? It doesn't matter which one you say, I'm going to ask you why.
Because...
If Ein Birchas Hashem Shabbos...
Because you could do any prayer, so...
In terms of the din, which is the radical position, Jake? Why?
Because why is it different?
Right, if you're making two brachos, who cares which one you do first? We understand it is intuitive. Even if you didn't read any of this Shachim Tai Yerushalmi, when you read in the Bible, I think the Rashba, somebody writes this, maybe it's the Rush writes this. Why is it that as you're making, without the Yerushalmis, I have to connect the bracha chon to the bracha Yerushalmi, right? If you don't, if you assume like Rabbi Abba, forget their Ein Birchas Hashem Shabbos. According to Rabbi Abba, I just said to you, maybe Rabbi Abba holds that according to Rabbi Huda, you have to connect the bracha chon to the bracha Yerushalmi, but the Chachamim hold that you don't. But maybe according to Rabbi Abba, nobody cares about connecting the bracha chon to the bracha Yerushalmi. What's the machlokus then about according to Rabbi Abba? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you have to make the bracha on the Shabbos Amin and the Chacham say you can make the bracha which, on whichever one you want? Shani?
Does Shabbat Amin have an importance
by bracha? Think about it. That's a very like a total, that's just rephrasing the question as the answer. If
I would say they both value both the values, which you really think is more important.
Okay, I didn't formulate the question. Sorry, Shani. The two of you say, what difference does it make? Which one? It doesn't matter if you answer both. Which difference does it make which one you make the bracha on? Why would it be? Why would it be they would argue only by? Then I should say it's better. Why would they only argue by Birchas Hashem Shabbos, but not Ein Birchas Hashem Shabbos? On the assumption that Ein Birchas Hashem Shabbos, you have to make two brachas. Why would they only argue there? And not argue by Kedima?
Right?
If you're making two separate brachas, what difference does it make which one goes first? Right? You're making a bracha initially. But once you're only going to make one bracha, you want that bracha to be... You're praising God. You want that bracha to have chashivos. So presumably, whichever is the better food, however you want to, at least, by the way, it may only be Rabbi Yehuda. It's not true. I mean, it's really not true if you hold the bracha isim ahem sheyirtzeh. It's just whichever you feel like it. I mean, you could say, I mean, apropos to my closing lines on Tuesday night, you know, I understand whatever I feel like, I do me, you know, it's my autonomy. I have to express myself. I have to be authentic to myself. So right now, I'm an apple. I'm not a grape. Right. So the Chachamim made you say, that's a little bit of a difference. Rabbi Yehuda, what?
That was your closing line?
That was, I spoke at the end about our American values. Autonomy. Were you there?
No.
Did you listen to it?
I thought you said that was your closing line.
It was very close to the end. Okay. It was like in the last little paragraph. Okay. We live in a world, we live in a culture which I said as a... It's on your homework. You need to listen to this.
It's on my guitar?
It's on my guitar? Yeah, it is. Okay. It is. And it's on my website, both of them. We can't blame our failure to follow on Athens, Rome, and the American Revolution because we were an armchair long before those existed. But we live in a culture where everything is about individual rights, authenticity, autonomy, you do you. It cuts from right to left. Well, that's correct. Doesn't make a difference. It's all the same. So the Chachamim say, it's a mention here. They don't really care. Doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. If you're making a bracha, it should be on the more fresh of food. If you're making two brachas, what difference does it make which one goes first? Okay. So now, once we've explained that, the rest of the Yerushalmi actually is very easy. It's just the next line about Ikar and Tafa. What exactly does that mean? Now, before we go there, how did the Sefer Haredim explain the Gemara? He has a great term here. Is this the place you showed them? And he showed me this term elsewhere. The misarvim. Misarvim. Is this it?
He was here.
And he talks about the people of misarvim. They want to be acculturated like the Arabs. What does that mean?
The Musta'arab community in Syria, the people were there before the Spanish
people. Interesting. Okay, so that's not what we thought it is. That's what it means. It means the early, they were there before the Spanish Portuguese, the exile from 1492.
Yeah.
Got it. The real Syrians is what you're saying.
Exactly.
I understood.
They were like real clashes in Syria.
Were they allowed to look at the Aleppo Codex or no? They didn't let them in the Spanish.
I don't know. No, there's a recorded fist fight between the Spanish and the Musta'arabim about some mikveh.
From what I understand is that I don't know if they reached fisticuffs, as the term would be. It's probably such a term nobody uses anymore. So I didn't grow up using that either. But I think it used to be the Sephardi shul in Teaneck also. They could, certainly they would shout at whoever was speaking, shout at each other, you know. There's not as much decorum as you might have. You know, Ashkenazi shuls used to be more Christianized, and more polite and quiet and so on. So, anyway. All right. So, the Sephardim have retained the tradition. So he says that the Rabbanon, he's really fascinating Shita. He says it's very totally different. Totally different. He says that the reason why it makes a difference whether you have Hass or not is that if you're having Hass, and you're making a bracha now on the stuff before, so there is no bigger king, there is no bigger kedima in the world than Hamotzi. And if you are going to make a bracha on something which you have to before Hamotzi, at that point, imkvar azkar. If you don't think kedima matters anymore because you make your bracha on food before Hamotzi, it makes no difference whatsoever which bracha you make first, according to the Rabbanan. If that's when you intend to eat pas afterwards. But if you're not eating pas, so then we revert to the role of appropriate kedimos, and therefore shivas aminim. Shivas aminim takes precedence.
That doesn't feel like a rule.
I know.
It feels like
let's just finish this thought. But if Rabbi Abba disagrees, because Rabbi Abba says, you're never eating fruit before the pas, because after you eat the fruit, what are you going to do? You have to make a bracha achrona. And therefore, these are two separate sessions. And it's not that you ate fruit before you made... It's not that you made the bracha on the fruit before you made the bracha on the motzi. It's two separate meals.
And that's whether or not you had in mind to eat pas later, or just that you had in
The point is, if you're not eating pas later, so then you make a bracha rona, and therefore you're not overriding the kedimos in the first place, therefore you follow the kedimos. So of course it's a little odd only because why are you allowed to make the bracha on the fruit before the bread? The answer is because you want to eat the fruit before the bread because you like it that way, something like that.
But then kedimos of bread
here's the deal. Let's say I want to sit down, I want to eat bread, I want to eat dates, and I don't have a preference. Clearly the bread comes first. In other words, the only way you would say that the dates could come first is if you don't want to eat the bread until after eating the dates. And I think that's one of the things that should be taken as a given in the Mishnah. And I think this is probably, it is stated explicitly in the Rishonah, but not to this degree. If you have, it's like when you have Shlema and Prus in front of you, and it's stated, I think it's stated there and it's stated in other contexts. If you don't want to eat, if you are sitting at the table, you have sheer lunch, and you plop a cluster of grapes in front of me and an apple, the discussion of whether or not which one I make the bracha on is only assuming I want to eat the grapes. If I do not wish to eat the grapes, of course I don't make a bracha on the grapes. I make a bracha on the apple, I eat the apple, and I do not eat the grapes. And I wave hello to the grapes. Now, I presume that if I do not wish to eat the grapes until after I eat the apple, because I have a very refined and sensitive and thoughtful palate, then I believe that the hana of the grapes is only possible in its fullest form after the slightly acidic taste of the apple. That's like I do not wish to eat grapes now. So I think that's a davar pashut. So the question you would ask us is, what if I want to eat bread? If I do not wish to eat bread until I've had the apple, because my apple is the right appetizer, it puts me in the right place, so then nobody would say you have to eat the bread first. But if I want to eat both of them, then the answer is I'm not supposed to make a bracha, I'm supposed to make a bracha on bread. And it's also a bracha shen etzricha question. And Mr. Brewer we spoke about addresses this issue. So so you're allowed here, it's not menasam that you've been allowed to do it before bread. When you have the bread and the apple in front of you, you want to eat both, you make the bracha on the bread. Kuleyam lopli. But in this case, I do want to eat the apple first. So now, but I've been having apples and dates. So his claim is that the Rabbi Yehuda says you still have to follow the kedima. Fine, I don't want to eat the bread now, but I want to eat apples and dates, so I make the bracha on the dates. The dates have kedima. And the Rabbanan say, no, once we're throwing, you know, kedimas to the wind, we're throwing it all out. You know, if pas hamelech here is, you gotta be careful how you say that. Melech, not melech. If king bread here is taking a back seat, then Prince Gates can take a back seat to the apples. We don't really care. That's the way the Stalsecher and Chayyim understands. Why does he even say this? I think the Paimoshas are much more you know, I don't know. Your Chami is difficult, right?
It's also like this is a Havila by Gesetara.
Ein kan kohen nifrada ha-Havila, the Gemara Gim. What happens if... Do we have any Levine here? Darn. Don't be arrested, don't they? All right, Ronnie, you're a lady for the moment. What happens if Lewis isn't here? If Lewis is here, he gets the Kohen Aliyah. Ronnie gets the Levi Aliyah. What happens if Lewis isn't here? So the Gemara says Nifra da Chavila. Rashi is to chat them what that means, that Ronnie is not entitled to an Aliyah, or Ronnie's not even allowed to get an Aliyah. The Rasalavichik, who was a Levi, was knocked in on the second Lashon in Rashi, that you're not supposed to give the Levi Aliyah. It's not the Minagolam. The Minagolam, you don't have to give the Levi the first Aliyah, but very often people do give the Levi the first Aliyah. But the Gemara says, Nifra da Chavila. Okay, you're not a Levi anymore, so it doesn't matter.
We never give it if there's no
Aliyah. You don't give them...
The Levi.
Okay. You don't give... Do you know that's the Shita, or it's just they don't bother?
I think it's the Shita. I mean, maybe that's just like
family. So ask... when you have a chance, ask... Ask whoever the Chacham would be for these purposes.
Why is it looking lucky to not give Levi and Aliyah if there's no Kohen?
They're machped Aliyah.
No, they're not.
They're not. So they will give Levi. Again, anyway, okay. So coming back to this, Chacham suggested Nifra da Chavila here. Once the pas has been dethroned, the dates don't get special chavirs, chashivas. I called the pas the king and the dates the prince, but Ephraim is suggesting that the pas is the Kohen and the dates are a lady. So, okay, fine. So now let's continue in the Gemara, in the Yerushalmi. Who would like to take over? Who is dying to take over? Shimi, you look like you have that look on your face. You want to say...
All right, where are we from? Where are we at?
So they repeat the Amar Rabbi Abba. I don't want to drill down too much on this. The Pnei Moshe quotes to Lashonos. There is a very simple way to read the Yerushalmi, which is neither the ways as you read it, but I'm open to your suggestions. Otherwise, you can talk about what he says. Shimi?
When I first read it, I thought that it meant that if you didn't make the bracha corona, the fruits would become tapa'il to the bread, so you shouldn't have made a bracha rishon on the fruits. You should have had the bread first.
That's a very elaborate reading. Okay, so let me take this to Billy. The Pnei Moshe is going to have two interpretations of the statement, and I want to propose a third. Interpretation number one is that it's a question against Rabbi Abba. Approach number two is that it's a proof for Rabbi Abba. And I'm going to suggest that it's just a further detail that Rabbi Abba provides us, which is the following. What happens if you didn't make the bracha achrona and then you washed on bread? What do?
You
You bench and you don't make the other bracha. Why? Because now it's tefillah. Now it's tefillah. Now you had apples. You had. It's a kind of interesting. It's a, what the chiddush of Rabbi Abba. But the chiddush of Rabbi Abba is just like you can have a bracha rishona, where you only make one bracha rishona because there's an ikar and a tafel, and the bracha and the ikar pato is the tafel. So the bracha chrona can work the same way, that when you have an ikar and a tafel, where you have birkas amazon, and then you have birkas vein chalosh, once, if you didn't separate the meals already, in other words, once you started to eat bread, you're mechuyev to eat, to make birkas amazon, and therefore the birkas amazon will pato the vein chalosh.
So watch the fact that you didn't make a bracha chrona, meaning they're combined, meaning
it's separate. So, before you mechuyev in the birchas hamazon, you should make. You should. It goes like this. Very simple. This could be the same with the same bracha. Let's say I ate apples here. So I'm supposed to make the bar nefashas. I can make the bar nefashas anywhere. I travel. I go back to Tina. I realize, oops, I'm hungry for apple. I'm about to take another apple. I say, oh, then you know what? I didn't make a bar nefashas earlier. What should I do?
Well, yeah, but that's different.
Because?
Because he, well, no, it's not because he's not better, but he said it's not the same. He didn't just say it's because the brachas, the same brachas are covered, so...
Listen, so the whole point is that you would have said, my birchas hamazon doesn't cover it because I need to make a me'in shalosh for...
Yeah, the question is, why it covers it? Is it covering it because this bracha ba'etzim works on that food, or that was tafel to this other thing? So he said it's because it was tafel. Right.
Well, in the
Gemara is not in favor, right? Which means that theoretically there's some connection between the bread and the apple, not just the bracha covering the previous.
I'm not really sure that that's the case. It could be that firstly, Nasi's Trela could be. Look, we think of Nasi's Trela. I mean, here I'm taking the other interpretation that the bracha's Trela. Which is was discussed on the previous halacha about the girsa there, Shahakol Trela or Shahakol Nivirah Trela. So and by the way, the same Haredim quotes a Rashba there, Ephraim. I have no idea what this Rashba is. He quotes a parish of Rashba. It's not an our Rashba, not on our sugya, and not on the sugya earlier. Lamed Tes of the story. I don't know where he's getting this Rashba from. I mean, I presume he's getting Rashba from somewhere. So, but if you would say that Nasas Tela, the bracha is Nasas Tela, so that means that a Berachas Hamazon definitionally covers. I mean, in Shalosh. I mean, the issue was discussed in the postum. I'm fairly certain that if you made Birchas Hamazon on Mizonos instead of Al Mechiyotze, I don't remember, it might be a machlokas about for Al Peros. I'm sure it patters a Bari Nefashas, even if it may not be discussed, because Bari Nefashas is not Chiyivis in the first place. It's hard to imagine that it doesn't patter a Bari Nefashas. But maybe not. Maybe if you hold, they have to make the Bari Nefashas on water, then it's not covered by Azara Sakol. I don't know. Well, in the same way, it might not cover all its appearance. But I think that his point here, the could read the Ushalmi, if Me'ein Shalosh is exactly that, Me'ein Shalosh, then Shalosh should pater it. The Brachas Trevalon. So that, I think, is one way to read the Ushalmi. The Pnei Yeshua is the Pnei Moshe is going to offer one reading where it's a question and one reading where it's a proof. His proof is the following: that if you needed to make a, if in fact you didn't need to make a bracha achrona, this is a wild actually. If it was not necessary to make a bracha achrona, this is circular. If you didn't make the bracha achrona, what would the din be? Well, you wouldn't make a bracha on the pas, because the pas is clearly tefel to the stuff you ate before. Why? Because the fact that you ate the stuff before first is because that was the ikar, that's what you were after.
Right, the idea that pas cannot be kodem is okay, but I don't know, it can be tefel.
Well, that's what he suggests, it's the proof. And we have to understand how the proof works. If in fact, you didn't make the bracha chona, the pas would then become tefel. And you wouldn't make a birchas hamazon at all. You'd have to make a bracha achas meim shalosh anyway. So the fact that you're making a birchas hamazon and hamotzi means you have to make a bracha meim shalosh before you eat the bread. I don't find it entirely. Am I making that up? That's what he says.
Okay,
fine. So you don't have to like it. Okay. Anyway, I'm very happy with the first, my first reading. I think that, you know, Brian?
I don't have any proof text.
What do you mean? Kosher, Iker, Vim, Mertela, Mavaratha, Iker, Pardos, and Tela?
Yeah.
Why? If it's, you would have fulfilled my reading? Etzah, and Baruch HaFarana. And there's any...
The whole Kiddush is that something can become a Tela, it's a fact, though.
Okay. Now, what... It,
the mission doesn't support that at all.
What's that?
The mission doesn't support that at all.
So, by the way, I'm going to go back to the Eitan's challenge there. I don't think that's actually hard at all. I don't think that it's that it's hard at all. Meaning, why is it hard to see that when you ate this food before, might have been an appetizer, you would agree that that could be a tafel, right?
If it was eaten that, but...
Yes. Yes. But remember, the discussion is in bedat alacha pasesh bedat alacha pas. I mean, that is the same setting. It's not that he's having the fruits here, but later he's well, going to go have bread. It means it's an appetizer.
I mean, the statement is just categorical, meaning since the stars of art itself, they're always separate.
Well, he's saying you're supposed to make the bracha afterwards.
He's still talking about
but if you didn't, at that point...
But you would agree that if you're not eating it for an appetizer, that wouldn't be true, or...
It is conceivable, but if you weren't eating an appetizer, why are you eating that and then eating bread immediately afterwards? Okay, so in a chum, it might be. But he believes that you're supposed to make a bracha achrona, even though it's an appetizer, but... and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi does not, and we pass the impala like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But if you didn't make the bracha chorona, so at this point, even though you had, in other words, we have a concept by the way, Ephraim. This is not, it's not found in the Bible explicitly, but it is in the Ramah. There is a concept of a tafel that comes before the ikar, and that comes up with a very odd din. What happens if you are having, let's say, you are eating? Pemos ginosa, in order to offset the effects of the salt that's coming later. Or let's say, never mind, you're eating heavily salted olives so that you can eat the pemos ginosa. What bracha do you make on the olives? That's what the Ramah says. Why? Because it's a tafel to the pemos ginosa. But you can't not make any bracha on it. Because you haven't made a bracha yet and you're eating. But you don't make the standard bracha that you would, the bracha chashuba, because it's only a tafel. That's the tzaddik.
What's
that? Yes. No, but you need to eat the tafel first. When you have an appetizer, what is the purpose of an appetizer? Explain. What is an appetizer?
To whet the appetite.
So, why don't you eat the bread first? You just explained why. Some foods draw your appetite. That's why it's called an appetizer. An appetizer cannot be eaten second by definition. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an appetizer. So now you know why. Now, which is the ikar, the appetizer or the meal? So if you're talking about pigs and blankets, otherwise it's known as what pigs and blankets are. Moshe Bateva is the Israel. That's funny that you know that. Moshe Bateva, that's what it's called. Moshe Bateva. Moshe is in Moshe.
Oh, Frankston.
Frankston means
something else. Frankston, no.
What?
No, when you have a little Franks in puff pastry dough. So that's called, the term is pigs in blankets. And in Hebrew it's called Moshe Bateva.
Oh, right. You're
right. Yeah. More the opposite.
You mean Vinny Hazir?
What?
Ketchup is more opposite of Vinny Hazir.
You mean Hazir versus Moshe Rabbeinu?
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so except for that, because that's the ikar, as we all know. But any other appetizer, it's terrible for you, but both parts are poison. The puff pastry dough and the nitrate in the French, but it's delicious.
Everything in this year is poison except for food.
Why do you think
that?
What's that?
All the sugar?
Jesus did too.
Listen, if I'm teaching you what brachos to make on foods, I'm also supposed to teach you what foods you're supposed to eat. You know, do you make a bracha before you drink Coca-Cola? Well, the Gemara said by olive oil you don't because it's mazik. So, just because it corrodes the insides of your arteries, no, whatever you're going to say. So anyway, so the point, the appetizer has to be eaten before, but it's a tato.
Okay.
Ruben,
definitely guess the phallic between the bracha rishon and the bracha achrona. Meaning bracha rishon, I mean, the Ramon's not intuitive for the bracha rishon, because I would have just said, tato for bracha hana or mater is based on what's in front of me. For
Hoda is for what the entire agreed. So the point is that all I'm saying is that for Rabbi Abba, you're claiming that his chiddush is that you could have the tafel before the ikar for the bracha achrona. I'm telling you that's not such a huge chiddush. I mean, it may be a chiddush. This is the makar. There you go. Even though we don't accept Rabbi Abba's din that machatchil, you have to make a bracha achrona on the tafel before you eat the ikar. Nonetheless, we do accept the idea that you made the bracha. You make a bracha rishon on the tafel, it's a tafel. The reason the bracha achrona covers it is because it's all it can be nitzpal to the ikar even though it was eaten before the ikar. The Rava is a separate chiddush. If you make a shahakal on it, then it loses its bracha chashuva because it's only a tafel. Okay.
I also understand what it's doing here. Like it's not a proof text, but it's not a question.
Right? Oh, because Rabbi Abba's sheep has been presented, so they wanted to tell you by the way. Rabbi Abba says you need a bracha achrona. But if you make, well, where else are you going to put it? It's not different than a gufa and the bavli. Right? Oh, but you mentioned it, so where else are you going to tell us? But even though Rabbi Abba, the point, Jake, is that even though Rabbi Abba says you require bracha achrona before, but he didn't make it, the bracha samasim covers it because it's tough.
So you're saying it's not, it doesn't actually teach us anything
about us? So. Correct. That's why I said there are three possibilities. The Pnei Moshe presents it to extremes. It's either a raya or it's a kasha. And I'm pressing the third possibility that it's just a statement, because that's all. And by the way, I'll just point out, Jake, the argument I would make is that the way the sugya presents it is they present Rabbi Abba ready to show these arguments from Levi. Then they repeat Rabbi Abba's statement. Why are they repeating it? So it's like a gufa.
So how are you reading? So he says, Tarek Abba supplements and Lo Birech Nasa Tela.
If you didn't make the bracha achrona, even though he requires you make the main shalosh, if you didn't make the main shalosh and then you had the bread, it's nitpal to the Birech HaSabah, it's nitpal to the Birech HaSabah. That's all.
So, Lobidef is without the Birech HaSabah.
Yes.
At least that, in that reading.
I don't know, but Tzarech Lebarech, so, Lobidef, Nas is Tela. It's such a simple reading.
Yeah, it's definitely the simpler way to read it.
That's right, question.
So, Rama is making another distinction. Does he think that the thing that makes, like, okay, why is an Aleph Hay?
You really like him, sort of, honestly.
It's not because it has an importance and there's a certain level of importance and then we give it a hayit. It's a hayit because it's an olive and it grows from a tree. Right?
And why do we make a shahakal on it? Make life easy. You know,
right,
when Gairim converts, so one of the things they have to learn is brachos. Right? They'll be asked the questions, what bracha do you make on this?
Yeah.
Why do we have, we're already in an economically impossible community to join. We have so many halachas to learn. What do we need to make beer break rates? Just make shakal and everything. Val kula shakal or yatza. Why?
Because
it's more hashuva. Because it's more mufurares.
It's more hashuva, not the olive. Meaning, it doesn't, the steps are wrong. That's not.
No. The point is I understand, but the point is that a bracha.
Yeah.
It
represents certain hashuvas. I understand that.
And therefore, we prefer that you be more specific. And a bori pre'etz is a more specific bracha, and therefore fruits generally get a bori pre'etz.
Not a hashivas of the fruit, it's a hashivas of like the manner in which we, I don't know, it grows or something like that. It's not, right? Hasi lion have their own hashivas, right?
You go to a seance and bring the lama up and you argue with them, okay? Anyway, my point for right now, you can go to the counseling center here and work it out in therapy. It's just with the Ramah you have, okay? My eldest David, the Ramah, he had these crazy things that I never had gotten to. Oh, whatever, that's a sheet. But the point of the Ramah, what is particularly interesting about the Ramah, it's not the Ramah, I don't remember where the Ramah quotes. If I had to guess, it's probably Shigolei Alecha. What? Or, yeah, it's going to be one of those things. It's not the kind of thing one of the mainstream Rishonim would say. Mainstream is obviously a relative term. Mainstream means They jumped to you earlier and they wrote Kerushim on the Gemara. So it's not an actual measurement of their stature or godliness. They all get old. But anyway, the chiddush of that, to me, the more striking chiddush is that you can have a tochel that's eaten before the ikar. And then within that, the idea that you then reduce its level. So here, this is for lesser chiddush. This we understand more. You don't make a bracha achrona on it. Why? Because even though the food was eaten before the bread, it's a tochel. So he is telling us, even though I'm telling you you're supposed to make a bracha achrona before you wash for the bread, nonetheless, if you didn't, then the berachas hamazon will cover. And we will get in the next sugya on the malafam beis about desserts and things of that nature. So as odd as it sounds, what's the din? We spoke about this in halacha. What's the din if we have a major meal and there's something called la'achar ha-su'uda. And la'achar ha-su'uda, I have ice cream. What is the rule with brachos la'achar ha-su'uda with ice cream? Make a bracha rishon and a bracha achron. Which is very odd. So we don't do this anymore because we say we don't have la'achar ha-su'uda. But conceptually, it's a very weird thing because I first make a barna fashos, and I don't know if the order matters. I don't know what we would say if you made a bracha samazon first. First I make a barna fashos, and then I make a bracha samazon. It's a little weird. Why didn't I just make a bracha samazon after everything? The answer is, it's like it's two separate meals. So Rabbi Abba's position was, it's two separate meals. Except for in his case, if you fail to end the first meal with the bracha chorna, then the bracha samazon covers everything. Because it's tefillah. Now the payros are tefillah to the bread, and one bracha chorna suffices. The major bracha chorna suffices. Okay. The rest of the Yerushalmi is pretty straightforward. That's the yes. Question? No, no question. Okay. Whoever was reading for me, really, continue. What is gizamta? Or however you want to.
It's a dessert with, according to the emotion, it's a dessert with a lot of minyan, including lupines.
Yeah, so I'm just going to take issue with that word dessert. It's hard to imagine lupine as a dessert, but they had some funny ideas, but I don't think even this was that funny. It is a child's book. I had this chus once many years ago, reading it to one of my students who brought his 3-year-old daughter to the base measure. So I read her the book. What is the book that the pea is one of the characters, and it's not allowed to have, it has to first eat all the sugar and stuff before it gets to eat its vegetables. Because the vegetables are like the part it wants, really.
What? I think that's intentionally backwards from
what I'm going to read. Shimmy, thank you very much. Because I was never a child and I never had children. And I'm not an adult now, okay? I wouldn't know that. Thank you very much. Yeah, I forget what the name of the book is. That young lady is being bat mitzvah to. So I guess it tells you approximately how long ago it was. So I don't remember. I wish I knew the name of the book. Okay. So anyway. So lupine is a food that, firstly, I think is barely edible to start with. You have to cook it. It's probably got, I don't know, some toxins in it that you have to leach out through the overcooking of it. It's a tormus. And so it's hard to imagine that this one, and in fact the way it's presented is out of the lupine. I don't know. Anyway. What else would it be? Dessert? No, it just means there's other stuff with it. There is, for example, this is an Ashkenazi food. When you have, what is it called? Simis.
Yes.
Except where it's blended together. Simis is, typically we'll have sweet potatoes, which is really, there's just some sweetness to it, but that's really the ikar, and then like your prunes with it, which are that's mixed together. But you could, you can imagine having a thing where you have some, I don't call them tadavins, just some, small fruits that might decorate something, which is really, or I'll give you a different example. Did we do this Hanukkah time? I don't remember. A Hanukkah classic, and actually didn't get the real stuff this year. It was, we were going to Israel 2 days later for a wedding. So, but in classic Hanukkah, you would have a brie in a puff pastry, and then it would be surrounded by grapes and crackers. Right? That's more analogous to this.
What's, right? What's a brie?
Brie cheese?
Oh,
it's brie. B-R-I-E. So, I'm sure it's French. So there, you have grapes around it, right? That would be kind of analogous to this, but I hate to tell you this, but the brie is much better than kapsuta. Okay? Or whatever, is it turmusa? Much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, not kapsuta. Kapsuta is a cabbage. It's also much better than kapsuta, too. Don't worry about it. Okay. So the Yerushalmi says, this gurzenta, you make, Rabbi Yirmiyah says the name of Ami, you make a bracha on the turmus, and Rabbi Levi explains. That's such a great pasuk, by the way. There's more than one way to read this pasuk. Rani, Mr. Mishlei. I thought you do Mishlei, no? Or Tehillim, I'm sorry, you do Tehillim.
Don't steal from a poor person because he's a poor person.
Stop being a wise guy, okay? Yeah. So, why shouldn't you steal from a poor person?
Because he's poor. He already has money.
That's a nice reading there, okay? But the pasuk reads funny. This pasuk, read on one level, is a little bit like they once asked Willie Sutton, who was a famous bank robber, why does he rob banks? And his answer was, because that's where the money is. Think about that.
It's fun.
It is.
That's fun.
It is. So the answer is, don't rob a poor person because he's poor, right? If you want to, if you're gonna,
it's either you can do better.
Our joke is, we don't need an alarm on our house. All we need is a sign that with an arrow it says, "The rich people live up the block." So,
but when we said yesterday,
the
money was
these
ago, right?
Yes.
Rob a bank.
Correct. Exactly. If you're going to rob a bank, it should be worth something. You know, don't rob a bank to collect $100 from the teller. That's kind of stupid. And that's what banks do generally now, is they don't keep very much cash. And when you go, if you need to get a lot of cash that you need to take out, aside from the fact that you have to tell them why you're taking it out and all gets reported to the government, in addition, many times banks, you'll have to tell them a few days in advance so they can order the cash. They don't keep cash around because it means, that just means that people are not going to likely to rob the bank. And because the only other valuables in the bank, generally speaking, are safe deposit boxes, but the banks can't open those themselves either. Right? They have one key, they have a master key which opens one lock, but they need the individual locks. The only way they can get into a box is by having a drill. But as you can imagine, when you're robbing a bank, you generally don't bring in the Smith with you to drill into the individual boxes. It's not a very efficient way of robbing a bank, you know. It's grab the money and run. So that's why banks don't keep very much cash, because it means there's no incentive to rob a bank. That's why, for the most part, only morons rob banks.
It's a very good ask.
It's in like some central vault somewhere where you probably need machine guns to get by the guards. It's probably at the Federal Reserve or something like that, which is where they have the arm. You go to a regular bank, I think. I've never asked. That would be a good way to get either thrown out or arrested. I don't ask whether they have armed security in the bank, but I've never seen anybody with armed in the bank. They don't have to be, because it's very relatively little there. So remember, number one, most criminals are stupid, because the way most criminals get caught, aside from doing Darwinian things in the process of crime, is most criminals get caught because they're stupid and open their mouths and somebody else turns them in. You're all too young to remember. I don't know when he was caught, but the Unabomber. You remember who he was?
Yes.
Ted Kaczynski. All right. You know about it. He was current events for me. He was history for you. But in the end, he was a brilliant guy. He was really careful. Why did he get caught?
Didn't his brother turn him in?
Yeah. Well, his own brother only turned him in because he got the New York Times agreed to publish his manifesto.
Yeah.
His brother looked at that and said, that sounds like my brother, and they tracked him down to some rural cabin in Idaho. But unless he got his message across, he needed to get his message across. But if you're robbing a bank or committing a crime like that, keep your mouth shut, idiot. Go enjoy your money and don't tell anybody. If you start bragging to people around you who you robbed this, or you knocked somebody off, well, somebody's going to go to the cops and say somebody was bragging about doing it, and then they'll find the trail of evidence. Even they don't need that witness. So that's why I tell you, most criminals are stupid. Often in how they commit the crimes, or the crimes they choose to commit, or they can't keep their mouth shut afterwards. Really smart criminals are hard to catch. So you don't read about those in the news. Yes.
Also, smart criminals like those have better ways of making money.
What that?
Smart criminals have better ways.
That's true as well. We like to say about students who would cheat in college. Although, amazingly, some students come up with very clever schemes. For the most part, if you're smart, you don't bother to cheat. You just study. Okay. Anyway, so, I bet I love it. Now, the real answer is... What's that? So that was what Rani suggested, right? It's a really bad answer, but that's not pshat either, I think. I'm sure some of the Rishonim offer that as pshat.
I guess this is ki arvel shanat, though he is poor?
No, so the real key, so there is one way of reading it is not that there's nothing to rob, you would rob him because he's poor and defenseless. Right? That's another way. But I think the shot is you have to read the two psukim together. As often, early Mishlei tends to have very long units. Many of them are long pieces. Once you get to Perek Yud, which is a separate source, there are like five to seven sources in Mishlei. It starts with the pasuk Perek Yud, then begins Gamela Mishlei Shlom or something like that. There are like seven different books in Mishlei. It's well known. This is Rishonim point this out. This is not modern biblical criticism. So once you get to Perek Yud, it starts to be more like one liners or two pieces together. Occasionally longer pieces. And so this one is Al Tizalbal Kidalhu V'Al Tidake Ani Vashar. Ki Hashem Yoribes Rivam V'Kava Eskovehem Nafesh. The reason why you shouldn't rob a poor person is because he's poor and his backer is God.
Which isn't from the show, right?
Yes, it's a different. It's correct. It's the way. It's a way of saying of Kol Amanav Yason Lo Sanun and Ane Sane Aso Ki Imtzo Kitasha Mashach So V'Harapi Vatei Sevacharz. Exactly. Anyway, there are a lot of ways to read this passage, but I love the Leitanus shot, which is don't rob a poor person because there's not much to take there. Rob the rich people. All right, so you can't steal the bracha from the poor tormos. Okay, so ad kidon. What's that?
It's proof that it's not dessert.
Okay, well that's because it's the ikar, and who makes this the ikar in the dessert line? So now continue. Shimmy, aren't you there?
Ad kidon v'sheish daz alecho pas. Lo haya b'daz alecho pas laban.
Lo bidon. Which lo bida means lo bizos. It means not in this case. Right? It's basically it's bametum amurim ahol in that case no. So this is consistent. This presentation of Rabbi Ami is consistent with what we said earlier. Now this would be interesting because who talks in the Bavli right? Who are the two Amorayim? Charamar, Charamar? Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. Right, so this would is Rabbi Ami and somebody? So this is, Rav Ami, you can try to tie the shita there. The Bavli never tries to determine. You know, sometimes the Bavli will say, Ruvein v'shivog, charam v'charam. And then what will Bavli say? Tistayim, that so-and-so is the one who holds this one. And then either the Gemara will say no, or occasionally will say, Tistayim. You know what Tistayim means? No, actually. That's a good reading with a samach tough. Tistayim. What is a davar mesuyim? Aside or specific. So that's what it means. So I was used to think the way you said it. And then at some point I realized when you're saying tistayim, it means we said chalav harav, but actually you can single out which one belongs to which. Yeah. What's that? No, it's not. You know immediately. It's either way. Siyum.
Yeah.
Either way, it's samach yud mem. Both his pshat and my pshat. So, okay. So, but the Bavli doesn't try to make a mistayim here with Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafacha, but it may very well be that this is Rabbi Ami. Rav Ami would be the one who says machlokes kishvir chaseim shabbos because he holds like Rav Shuvin Levi. Right. No, I would just say that it probably what they were not interested in going down the road here wasn't that important, and it would have required. I'm not. So I see where you're going. I say too much, and I give you ideas. Maybe my last part. I got it. Yeah, I don't think so. This is, I just, you don't know how far it wants to go. Ronnie?
So what we're saying is that you have bread before or after the greasy mustache.
No, he's saying if you intend to eat bread afterwards.
After.
Right. By the way, which makes this an appetizer, then you make a bracha on the grazimka because you ignore the min shiva. But if you're not going to eat bread afterwards, then it's the same exact same thing. Now you need the bracha chama to tie to it. Or you could say it to say for Yerayim, even under the Charedim, but I don't think that's what it is. Lewis.
So is Adonai, right?
What?
Kermesa would be
Adonai. Yeah.
So this pushes it beyond Bracha Shavuot.
Huh. That's a good point.
I could give an answer, but because I'm clever, but I won't. The answer I could have given is you're eating Klayos around it, which are also Hadamah. Shiva Saminim. Roasted, assuming Kedim applies to those, which Rishonim assume probably not. It has to be Lechem or porridge.
Good, because it's cooked down.
No, Klayos, if you just roast wheat kernels, you make Hadamah.
But it's specifically roasted wheat.
Yeah, that's why I said Klayos, by Klayos. I didn't mean nuts roasted, I mean wheat roasted.
So, separately, you can eat wheat by itself, like Adamah, like normal, like unprocessed wheat, without splitting it.
Kosheh to Sakita.
Yeah, would you still say,
Say Adamah.
No,
I mean, what? Well, that's a famous. There was a famous issue. Tosis, Rabbi Tam originally thought you should make a main challenge with Al Adam of Al Pri Adam, and then he changed his mind. So some. What? Korin Fashas. But in Shulchan Aruch, they may recommend against it because the Safik may be. Because Safik Bracha Rishon is easy to come, they make shakal, but Safik Bracha Rishon, there's no way to do it. Okay, so what do we do with this?
And so if you have bread after it, what benacha do you make? In other words, it doesn't apply, right? If you have bread after it. So what do you make?
What have you? Then you make the bracha on the Shiva Saminim and you make the launa and our main chalash afterwards.
You mean, okay, so instead of the Torah Musaf?
You eat one with Shiva Saminim. So that's a good question. So there's that. Do you know what that means? It means that Rabbi Ami holds a machlokes kishein berchoseim shavos. He's saying that if you don't have, he's saying if you have a bracha, no bracha achorona, then right, unless. So that introduces a new wrinkle, which we could say, so it's going to be turned everything upside down. Because what it would mean is that if the bracha said is Shabbos, so then it depends upon whether or not, well, both ways, it's dependent upon whether it's going to be bracha achrona. What you might have to say is that if it's any bracha said Shabbos, so the reason why, and you're not eating bread, so the reason why you are have to make a bracha rishona. Oh well, but this is why you have to make a bracha rishona on the Gneshira Sabinim, because if you don't, you're not going to make the bracha on them at all. Yeah. Then you have to see, are these two? Yes. And now the question is. Because we introduced that caveat, right? It wouldn't change the. In other words, it would be machlokas even kishein berchoseihem shabbos, but for a different reason, not because kedim in the bracha, but because you do away with the bracha. In other words, the machlokas would be by both situations, berchoseihem shein berchoseihem shabbos, in both cases, because you wouldn't have a bracha on the shiva sanim. Right? In the Bavli though, right? Ula, so that's what Ula is rejecting. Ula is saying that the Bari Pri Hadama will not hafer the Bari Pri Eitz because you didn't make it on the fruit. And therefore, that is a very interesting way of reading things. That almost suggests that Ula has two positions that are clear. Number one is that Ein Birchoseim Shavos, it doesn't matter what order, Mevarech Hazeh, Mechoseh, Mevarech Hazeh, and that nobody cares which one you make first. But the truth is, those two shittos, one may have flow out of the other. The whole reason why Ula Shita basically is one bracha doesn't pata the other. The Mishnah only applies when you made the Buri Pri Hadama on the fruit. And once you're going to make two brachas anyway, then the Mela, it doesn't make a difference. Whereas for the position of the Yerushalmi, the whole point is that you don't get to make a two brachos so if you have a bracha achrona, you will get to make two brachos, only if you do it in the right order. But the point is, you will not get a bracha on the Shivas Amidim at all if you make a bracha on the other food, either because it's the same bracha, or because the Adama patters the Shivas Amidim fruit. And therefore, the only time you're allowed to make a bracha on the other food, according to the Chachamim, is when you're not going to make a bracha on that. Jake?
I understand that the whole sheet of Ula flows out of the general position of the Bavli that projects.
Or his position. I don't want to say the Bavli, it's his position. We don't know what anybody else holds, right? The Gemara said nothing on it.
Well, it seems like the whole Bar Kapara story.
That's true. It might be correct. If you want to read that, so United, yes. So Ula's working within that position. Certainly Ula, because he's the one talking there. Yeah. The Bavli is working with the assumption that there's no Ptur unless you make it directly.
And of course, that's when we to understand something.
Yes.
Can we go over there to the Bavli one more time?
Right here in this termusa,
yes.
So it's the same thing as before. He says that when you're having this termusa, you have a termus which is hadama, you have shivas aminim around it, and he says that presumably adopting the chachamim's position, we can't tell for sure unless everybody agrees. I think it's the chachamim's position. He says that if you're eating bread afterwards, you make the bracha on the termus because there's no bracha achrona except for on the bread, and therefore you don't have to connect the bracha rishona to it. But once you're not having bread afterwards, so you don't have to make a bracha achrona bein shalosh, and you're not going to have made a bracha on the shivas aminim. You're going to have made a hadama on the tormas.
So he's extending into the scroll of the comments on case of the good
Well, he's saying the position of the chachamim would be moda, even in the case of ein birchoseim shavos, when you're not eating bread. And I had suggested until now, but as I'm thinking about this case, that when Ein Birchoseim, with the caveat that you had raised at the beginning of Shir, that if the Yerushalmi assumes that you would make two brachos, hadama then ha'eitz, so the Chachamu would say by Ein Birchoseim Shavos, it never matters. But if you say like this passage, so then the Chachamu, the Yerushalmi is assuming that hadama patters ha'eitz, even when you're not making it directly on that. So the Chachamu Rabbi Yehuda disagree across the board. Birchoseim Shavos, Ein Birchoseim Shavos, that if you have a bracha achrona, you got to make the bracha on the Shivas Aminim. If you don't have a bracha achrona, that's the machlokes with the chacham. And Rabbi Abba would say, you always have to make a bracha achrona, so that has nothing to do with the machlokes of the chacham Rabbi Yehuda. They argue anyway. The chacham don't care about connecting the bracha achrona to the bracha rishon. Donnie?
So is it universally accepted that a bracha achrona always goes by the Shivas Aminim rather than the chacham?
I think it's assumed. I think that's what's being assumed here. Certainly, the Pnei Moshe reads, but I think it's pretty obvious. Is that it does? I mean, I'm sorry. You asked me a different question. We assume that the bracha achrona, when there's an ikar and a tafel, the bracha achrona follows the ikar.
Right.
But,
so
it
would be.
But
no. What's
that?
But
this is not ikar and tafel in that sense. In other words, if we're saying here. Again, if you assume that this is a case, let's assume like the, I think you have to, that the turmus, which is, it's ikar in the sense of, that it is, you can only make one bracha here. There's two different types of, you can only make one bracha here, Rani, because once you make hadama on the turmus, if you make a bracha on the turmus, you can only make one bracha, because hadama covers everything. Is this not like an ikar v'tafel? When I have bread and maliach, I have herring on a cracker, fundamentally speaking, I should, if I had herring and then I had a cracker, or I had a cracker, then I had herring, I would have to make two brachas. Ikra b'tacho means the food that I'm eating now, I'm really eating cracker. I'm eating really herring. I'm not really eating a cracker.
You're not really eating the other
meaning. I mean, you are really eating other meaning, but once you make, it's like when I eat an apple and I eat an orange, I only get to make one bracha. The discussion, which one should I make the bracha? But I only get to eat one bracha.
One fish.
No. The point is, when someone puts out a plate, I don't know, I mean, it's usually it's all hadama. They put out pickled stuff for you. That's two brachas. When they put out on a table, assuming you didn't wash already, because otherwise that would pop it, and they put out pickled olives and pickled pickles, pickled cucumbers, and they put out pickled herring, right? That's not ikra b'tachel. When you pick one out, you make a bracha on it. If you pick a different one out, you never make a bracha on that. Now,
I'm just
but in Yerushalmi, Pashtus is the way Jake is saying. In the Yerushalmi, and the way those were saying, if you make a bracha on the tortoise, it passes everything else because Hadamah covers everything else. You don't make two brachas.
So saying, how do we know that it's a plate and not something combined?
Because then they wouldn't be having this discussion. Nobody, as far as we know, says, Koshe Yeshba Mishiva Samidim, not like Rabbi Shmuel.
That's my question. Maybe
that's a huge, question. I'm not willing to take Rabbi Shmuel's idea and stick it in here. Okay, so that's I've found that. So just very quickly, I'll take over. Thank you, Shimon. Rabbi Gamliel Zuga, you know what his job was? He was a barber. Zug shel saparit. That's what the Baal Sefer Haredim says. What? None of the Mepharshim say that, I think. Do they?
Is Sfaria not a Mepharsh?
Every translation is a commentary.
Anyway, Falak Gabe, even the Beir Rabbi Yanai, Chamason, he saw them. This must be a typo. Nusfin Zesa, I think it should be with a Samach. Nusfin Zesa, Umavarcha Farachot. So they had before the meal, they made a bracha achrona on the olives. Omar alone, he said to them, Avdid Kibain. People do this? He's assuming not like Rabbi Abba, like Rabbi Shuba Levi. So you don't understand why they're making a bracha achrona. And as proof to this, Rabbi Zera Shalach, Rabbi Zera said, you know what? Yes, Shal Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Rav Tana B'Shem Rabbi Yehina, Ko Am Amodesh Im Beinehem Mimin Shiva Alavu Bevarech. If the assumption here is that if you're not eating pas afterwards, you have to make the Shiva Samidim. But if you are, it's because you're not making a bracha achrona. Amar Rabbi Zera, he remembered, right, yes, that's right. Min man danan chamin rabbanan salkun l'rei sharecha. They would go up to the suit of Ibur HaChodesh. V'achlin anovin v'lo mevarchin b'sofa. They wouldn't make a bracha chrona. Lo, b'sheyesh v'dato lechol pas. They wouldn't in a case where their intention was to eat pas. Okay. The Yerushalmi closes with something that's really relevant to the Babli. Hayu lefan aminim shiva. Let's say a multiple shiva saminim there. Al ezim mehen mevarech. How do you know which one to make the bracha on? And this could be a question according to both the Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Yehuda, or maybe only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Can't tell. Amrin kala taman amrin. What does taman mean? Shimi?
Yeah.
Which means?
Baba.
It means in Baba they say kala kodem lemikra kodem lebracha v'chala samach la'aretz kodem l'kol, which is exactly. What the sugya presents, I think that's the simple interpretation of what this means is the way the Babli explains there. Again, this is being quoted from Bavel, so one would assume that this is a case where you might have to read the Yerushalmi in light of the Babli, but well, that's another discussion.
Or they just heard a messenger.
No. I understand. I don't mean that the Yerushalmi had the Babli here. No, here for sure it means they had a tradition from Bavel. Here's the catch, Ronnie. Okay, but I didn't say spell out, but I'll spell it after you now. One who's clever could suggest the following. There was a tradition in Babel that originated there, something about Kedima and the Pasuk, and Karov Aretz. And the Yerushalmi reports that tradition. And then the Babli is interpreting the Yerushalmi, quoting the Babli tradition, what it meant. You could make such an argument. I don't think that's what's going on here. Here I think that Olam Mekanech, and I don't think it's a big stretch. But such a thing could happen. You could have a tradition of the Babli preserved the Yerushalmi. Maybe they didn't have it direct in the Babli. They have it through this tradition, and then they're interpreting. I don't think that's the case because it's Amoraic discussion in the Babli. It's not in the Sama de Gemara. I don't think there's any reason to assume that. I think the Yerushalmi accurately reflects what is recorded in the Babli. No reason to engage in historical gymnastics. Jake?
Going back on Rabbi Ami and the famous there, so he says that the Hashem all people about. So what's that saying? So it's saying that the Adama, the Torvos, that's like similar to the Ikar, is like a Dal. And
yeah.
So
it should get its bracha. It shouldn't lose its bracha.
So the Shiva Samini should steal the bracha.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? That the Shiva Samini were stealing the bracha.
Then you have to make a bracha on the Torvos anyway.
Yeah. So there's no stealing. Flow.
That's why my clever answer to Lewis would have been it's Klaios, so it would steal the bracha. But I don't really believe that. If I were in Pilpul, I'd be the theater. I would get that. The problem with mechkar and pshat is it kind of ruins things for you.
Exactly.
Truth is not exciting. It's true, but it's not exciting. Like, what's more fun, Ronnie? A brilliant analysis of the Rambam's conceptual distinction between two different areas of halacha, or recognizing that it was in a printer's error in the Rambam? Where is your lumbish soul?
It's cultural.
Hey,
exciting.
Okay.
People start coming into
So what is he saying?
So what he says, this might be the answer, Lewis, and do away with your question, which is there are no Shiva Samin here, but there are Hashuvim.
Well,
he says Hashuvim, right?
Which are also Hadamah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like Chavit. The Chachamim hold of Chavit. I don't like his shot. I would rather be stuck with that question, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. It might have to be that way, Jake. Your question's compelling enough that I think Lewis might be wrong.
Does
Hashuvim
have to be Shabbat meeting?
No, it doesn't have to be Shabbat meeting.
Does it make the distinction afterwards of maybe the eating bread or not afterwards?
Oh, you're right. It has to be Shabbat meeting, otherwise you don't have the bracha harda. That's why Claudius is the best answer. Okay. All right. Yes?
The Hagadon is not saying that this gets limited by that zone, but it's a quote. We only said over there that in Chagas did on first Shishu that saw Chopat.
So isn't the concept of Gozo Bashma that really like if you said the eight and you wouldn't say that on the rest of it?
Right, but the problem is why? Why would Ha'etz have a path of Adama? So you have to then go on to, you're going to have to say it's like an Ikar and a Tafel, but it's separate. It's not an Ikar. Right, it's not an Ikar. The whole point is that the Tormus is the Ikar. But the other one is connected to the Baruch HaFrona.
Well, yesterday you're just
going to
choose, say, that for general
Baruch HaFrona.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. There's something missing. It's not bracha achrona tied. The problem is it's in the whole context of bracha achrona, right? They haven't for the whole point of whether you eat pas or not. Why? What difference is it? Would be stealing either way. It has to be tied to the bracha achrona. Because if it's not eaten past, lo bedaf. It's tied up with the same thing as earlier. Shouldn't
it? Maybe like it already isn't getting its bracha most of the time. So the one situation where we might be able to give it, we should give it.
That's right.
I don't know how to concede that it doesn't fit in the context. He said, that's not really the same thing. Top element, I'm talking about bracha. It's not really the same thing. So he's talking about it.
That's not satisfying, because it's here. Okay. All right, so on Sunday is the Kiyas. Monday we will resume, we will start with the Babli. And the Babli is quite a bit clearer. There's some interesting stuff, interesting machlokos, but it's, as usual, it's much clearer. Okay.